You know, with my background in hockey, watching so many of you elbow each other, it brings me great joy to see you doing that. So anyway, good morning. Nice to see all of you. Look, just a quick reminder about masks. All right? The health inspector said, if you want to drink water or eat something, take your mask off. Don't leave it off for an hour. All right? So some folks apparently are still not wanting to come back because I guess they think we're not wearing masks. So please put your mask on when you're not drinking water. Is that okay? Yeah, so only the people at the front can take their mask off. So come on up. Anyway, that's just a reminder for you, all of you, okay? Just a further reminder, after our meeting today is our annual general meeting. Did you get the copies of your reports out of your slots? If you didn't, make sure you get that, and we'll go right into the service after we're done here this morning. A couple of things. First of all, I want to thank Phil for preaching last week for me while we were in Ottawa visiting Andrew and the kids. Much appreciated, Phil. Thank you. And Carl did an excellent job on Thursday night holding forth. Thank you, Carl. We were out in a pumpkin patch at Miller's Farm. I don't know if you've been in a pumpkin patch lately. I'm going to have Jane bring some pictures for next Sunday. If you have OCD, you do not want to go into a pumpkin patch. Because when you think you've got the perfect pumpkin, you don't. It was really something. It was really, I have not been in acres of pumpkins for a long time. And we went to the corn maze and, oh, we just had a great time. So I feel very much back into my childhood again. By the way, I was at a birthday party for one of the fellows in our church yesterday at supper time, and they had a lot of children, and so we were eating kids' food. When's the last time you've eaten a pogo? Some of you are going, pogo? I only know a pogo stick. No, that's the hot dog on a stick with the breading on it. That's a pogo. I mean, I was enjoying eating food, and you know what? You almost can eat it without your dentures. It was really, like the food was just, it was really, anyway, I just want to tell you, I've had a very young week, so thank you to everybody who's assisted. Jane is updating the phone list, as you know. If you haven't contacted her to make sure that you've got the right email and things, please call her this week, and we've got a lot of new folks in our church in the last few months, and so we'll be adding that, and in the next couple of months, you'll be getting a new updated phone list, okay? So we'll have that for you as soon as possible. Also, with our transitional pastor coming in a few months, if you do anything specific in this church, Bruce, where are you? Bruce, thank you for giving me your update on what you do as a greeter. If you do any activity in the church, will you please let me know so I can pass it on to him as to what all the different things are? I think that will help him to understand our church in a little more expedient manner. Shoe Tree. The ladies in the visionary group are collecting mittens and hats and things. And Sue, we have a date. Sheila, we have a date. How much longer are you collecting for? November 4th. Okay, so basically 3 more weeks. Bring things in, and then those things are going to be going to the food bank. And again, thank you for all your help. Phil and I work regularly at the food bank. The folks coming in are incredibly needy, but incredibly grateful. So, and Margaret, are people still putting the things in the bucket? Where are you, Margaret? Are they still putting things in the bucket? Are you still going up to the food bank with it, or do you want people to still take things directly to the food bank themselves? Okay, Phil is taking them. Okay, so if you do bring things for the food bank, Phil and myself will take them up. Margaret, thanks for all the work you did for doing that, because I knew you had a lot of heavy things to carry. Okay, upcoming things, Monday, 2 o'clock prayer at the church, Wednesday, ladies here at 10 o'clock, and Thursday, our study night here at the church, and Saturday night for prayer, okay? So those are the activities for this week. Is there any other updates for announcements? Okay. I'd like to give you the birthdays. John Cummings has his birthday on October the 18th. And Gary and David, I don't think... David, a happy birthday to you, brother, for the 19th, for Tuesday. Oh, Lord bless you. All right. Okay, let's open with prayer, and then I'm going to ask the worship team to come up to share with us today. Father, we're here for one reason, and that one reason is to worship you. Lord, you want us to get together in order to together, after busy weeks, seek your face and enjoy praising you with others. And so, Lord, would you be at the center of this worship today? Would you be all that you need us to be? And would we open our minds and hearts to what you want to share with us today from your word? And even as we sing and as we pray, Lord, you're a magnificent God, and we just want to say thank you for all that you do in our lives. And as we have this service, we just know that you're going to bless each and every person in this room. Father, there are those that are not well today and are not able to be here. Would you be of great comfort to them? In your name we pray. Amen. Before the team comes, I want to introduce Elaine to you. She's visiting for the first time, so Elaine, welcome. And we have a little package for you here. So team, come on up. All right. We have some notes for prayer this morning, and obviously we'll have some notes for praise, I'm sure. First of all, just for prayer, Rick Anderson has already gone down to join the snow crew in Toronto. Kathy, I'm sure you're thrilled your husband's down so early. He's going to be down for 6 months, is that right? Yep, he's one of those highly paid professionals who's going to check to make sure any ice appears on the roads of Toronto. Also, Sean Reed is now a patroller for Simcoe County for the roads. So we got the two fellas are going to be patrolling this entire area. So if we could pray for them. Margaret, we want to pray for your son, Barry. Margaret was telling me this morning, yesterday, he was driving his son along the 401 in Brighton to a hockey practice, and he suffered a stroke in the truck. So he was able to pull off at the en route. They were able to transport him to the Brighton Hospital. They found out he's got a clot in this part of his brain. They shipped him to Belleville. He's now in ICU, and already he was talking to his mom this morning, complaining of the food and the coffee. So that's good news. But we're praying that the Lord really gets a hold of him. This is a close call. He's very fortunate he didn't get killed on the road, and his son. And so, Margaret, we're going to pray for both your boys today and ask the Lord to continue to really draw them to himself. Okay? Also, many of you know Dave Hunt. Dave Hunt has been coming prior to COVID up to our Thursday night study night. David, again, had another AFib issue, had to be rushed in the hospital. He's just neighbors with the Clarks. And this is the fourth time, Donna, I believe, Bruce, Eddie, that he's had to have his heart restarted. So they did that last night, and so many of you know Dave and Georgie, so we want to pray for them as well. All right, other needs for prayer, and then we'll take some notes of praise. Olivia, we're continuing to pray for you today, absolutely. Thank you. Donna, your husband's dizziness, Don's dizziness, yes. We will definitely pray. Anything else for prayer this morning? Okay, notes of praise. Who's got something they want to share? The young lady with the mask on. Yes, Ann. So this is a little different, folks, than roll up the rim. Okay, this is a little more serious. So anyway, Ann, we're thrilled for you. And you'll all have to go out and look at her new rims out in the north parking lot. So praise the Lord for that. Safety's important. Okay, other notes for praise. And you know, family, again, that's a reminder. All of us have issues with family. There's something always going on in family, dramas of some kind. And keep praying. Because God's working, and sometimes to hear your testimony, Kurt, is a reminder for us all to keep trusting and believing. And like you said, you were just hoping they would come Thanksgiving, and I think Ernberg, you told me they walked in, shook hands, and hugged each other. Yeah. Oh, that's super, terrific, Richard. And I think that's fantastic, Richard. We're so happy for you. Yeah. Anything else for praise, Sheila? Anybody want Sheila to walk over to your house to say hello? She's really going. She's got her PF flyers. I think that's just marvelous, Sheila. Good. No, I think it's fantastic. I mean, you know, we pray and pray and pray and pray. And then when you see the breakthroughs, sometimes it's really easy to get discouraged and go, "This, the Lord's not doing anything there." But he is. He's always doing something. So that's marvelous. And thanks, Barry, for driving her back. Barry, you've changed your mask. You're scaring me now. What happened to your mustache? Okay. All right, just ask it. Never thought I'd be in church where people would change their mask. Okay, anything else for praise? Anything else? Unspoken? All right, let's go to prayer. Father, just want to thank you for the fact that you love us so much and that you're working in our lives. And some of the testimonies this morning of just how you're working. For Sheila, we just praise your name. For Suzanne, for what you're doing. And for the relief, I'm sure, that both Roy and Richard feel as they've been so concerned for their wives over these months and even years. Father, we just join with Margaret in prayer for Barry, her son, and for both her boys. Lord, that this would be a moment of real revelation and the reality that their life could be gone in a heartbeat. And so where are they going to spend eternity? Give Margaret great peace in these days. And we pray for Georgie and Dave. Dave with this another heart restarting last night. We pray, Father, that you continue to bring healing, because I'm sure in some ways every time this happens, his heart has been damaged. And so would you bring great comfort to Georgie today and for all who love them and are praying for them. We just lift them up to you. Father, we again want to lift up Olivia to you. And Lord, we know that you're working. And we just pray that Ken and Olivia will both just sense your peace in their home. It's got to be frustrating with the limitations that Olivia's feeling. And Lord, we just would ask you to supernaturally meet her even this week. And Father, thank you for the practical aspects. Thank you for this church family, the love they have for one another, and that Ann was able to get these rims and we were able to support her in that. And for what you've done for Mike and Claudia as a brother and a sister, I'm sure for Irmgard and Kurt as parents, it just warms their heart to see that reuniting going on in their own family. And Father, we just thank you too for those that are in different jobs that many of us wouldn't take. We think of Rick and Sean and their shifts and the work they do to ultimately, I believe, save people's lives, because as the winter draws near and as ice conditions come, there's so much danger as people drive. And so bless these fellows in their jobs through this winter, and may they just have a great sense of purpose in what they're doing. And Father, for all of us as we head into a new week, thank you for all the blessings of Thanksgiving. Thank you for all the things that you are doing in our lives as we head into a new week. We know you're going before us, and we ask you to direct us and protect us, to lead us, to guide us, to walk beside us, to do everything that is necessary for us to walk in an upright, faithful manner. And Lord, again, we ask you to forgive us of our sins, the things that we have done wrong against other people, the things that we have done and thought that have not been honoring to you. And we pray, Jesus, that you would forgive us again this day and equip us so that we can serve you faithfully. And we pray for the influence of this church family in this upcoming week as we reach out to this part of Wasega Beach. Lord, may our ministry as ambassadors of yours really touch many people's lives in all that we do, think, and say. And we just bless you now in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Team, come and lead us in another song. Would you please?
Change our hearts. Change them so that you are delighting in them, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
And we just pray for Pastor John now as he comes up. Gives us the sermon, Lord. Give him the words you want him to speak, Lord. And make us all listen to the words and open our ears, our hearts, and our minds, Lord, so that we learn and can apply them to our life, Lord, so that we leave this place with more faith than we came in.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. May be seated.
Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul. I was thinking these last few weeks, how many things we're actually in control over. Think about it for a second. What are you actually in charge of? Are you in charge of your lungs? No. Are you in charge really of any internal workings of your body? No. Does your dog even obey you? No. When you think about it, there are very few things that we are in control over our attitude, right? But what I want to bring out to you today is I think we have an incredible equipping through the Lord to actually, in the midst of all the issues of life, calm and quiet our souls. And so I want to start with Psalm 131. This is David writing in a very poignant way. He says, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things, what? Too great and too marvelous for me, but I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. And the Greek goes on to say, and ceased from fretting. All of you know what fretting means. And how many times have we seen a small child so upset and just writhing around, and then when suddenly he begins to nurse with his mother, or she's cuddling him, or even the dad is cuddling, what does the child often do? And so I think David brings it out very clearly. There are some things that are so great and so marvelous for me that I can't even get my head around it. Now, we could say, yeah, great in terms of positive way. Like, when we try to explain the difference between the finite and the infinite, can we do it? No. To try to get our finite brains around an infinite concept. Now, if I think about forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, I don't know about the rest of you, but I could drive myself nuts in 10 minutes. I could. Heaven has no end. There's no boundaries. I get 1,200 miles by 12. I get that. But God's forever and ever and always has been. So David is right when he says, you know, we've got to calm our souls with things that are what? Too wonderful for us. Because we can't, in our finite brains, figure it out. And one of the things that I've learned over the years is to say to myself, you are God and I'm not. Wow, I am so glad I'm not God. The flip side is, when I look at what's going on in the world and I go, oh my goodness, this is all beyond crazy, I remind myself that God runs what? The universe. A little ball in the middle of that universe. He's even paying attention to you and I. That's too wonderful. I go, whoa, can't get my head around that. But I need to relax or I start to fret. Or what about the whole idea of the practical things of life? Sometimes I think we need to calm ourselves because the practical things of life could cause us to fret. Now, let's break this down for a minute. These two are wonderful, but let's look at what we have when Jesus, in his very first sermon in Matthew 6, addressed the following. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about the body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? We are now, I don't know if you've heard in the last 2 weeks, people are starting to tell us, look out, there's going to be food shortages. I'm hearing on television and radio stations now, you can buy all these dehydrated food packages, you will always have some food. What is that doing for people? Causing stress. They're starting to fret. I've already heard from people that have their basements filled with dehydrated food. They're ready to go. Now, I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but are they fretting or are they calming themselves? Because fears are always going to be around us, right? And what's interesting, Jesus in this very first sermon, he then says, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more what? Clothe you. So who's in charge of our food and our clothing? Ultimately, the Lord. He's running the show. O you of little faith, therefore, do not be anxious. Swiss Chalet was closed on Monday night. I went out there and I was driving by and there were people circling and they didn't know what to do. Their anxiety must have gone up because Swiss Chalet wasn't open. Swiss Chalet was open on Tuesday. That was fine. My wife and I went in to get some Swiss Chalet and a fellow came in and he says, aren't you Reverend Slash? Right there, they're picking up my chicken. We had a great time to share, and you know, he and I played hockey together, and we chatted a bit. But the stress levels, even from having a restaurant closed. Now, it's a little different than Sears. Now, when Sears closed, everybody sucked air. Because there's nothing like Sears. But in who's in charge of what we wear? The Lord will provide what you need, will provide what you are to eat. O ye, therefore, do not be anxious what we wear, what we will drink, what we'll sheet. And then he goes in verse 33 to say, but seek first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, calm and quiet your spirit. Right? I can't believe how many times I've gone into Superstore and they haven't had oranges or strawberries. And right away you start, oh, come on. Why? Eat pomegranates. Try bananas. You know, we have so much. And what do? We literally take it all for granted. And then if it isn't there and Swiss Chalet's not open, then what do we? How easy it is to calm yourself, said Jesus. Seek first his kingdom. Now, what's interesting is that it's not simply what we're going to eat or drink. I think sometimes we get agitated because of people. Would you agree? Okay, let's unpack this one for a minute. First of all, I think we can be affected by ungodly people. And David writes an amazing thing in Psalm 73. He says, truly God is good to Israel and to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled and my steps nearly slipped. What's going on? He was getting anxious. He was fretting because I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the what? The prosperity of the wicked. How many of us look around and go, these people are corrupt and they look like they're getting away with it. These people are doing things and saying things and they're lying about and they're getting away with it. And I understand David. I don't know about you, but sometimes my feet almost stumble. And he goes on to say, behold, these are the wicked, verse 12 of 73, always at ease, and they what? They increase in riches. And so it would be very easy, I think, as David's saying, to start fretting, go, Lord, where are you? Why aren't you doing something about it? But who's in charge of the universe? And then he goes on to say, when I thought of how to understand this, it seemed to me to be a wearisome task. Does your brain ever get tired? When you're trying to figure stuff out and think through stuff and trying to balance the good, the bad, the ugly, you ever get tired? Sure, David's right. Until I went into the sanctuary of God and then I discerned their end. What's their end? They have an eternity without him. And for all that they gain, at the end of their life, they have nothing. And if they don't know the Lord Jesus, they're into the flames of hell. And so David, even in the Old Testament context, I discerned their end. In the midst of all that is troubling me, I realize I have God. So David goes back to what he said in Psalm 131, I need to calm and quiet my soul. Now, there's also another thing where literally I think people, and we see this in Scripture, ladies, I understand a few weeks ago you were talking about thorns in the flesh. And I was quite intrigued. Do you think thorns in the flesh can be people? So I was talking to Grace, and she was giving me some scriptures. And so I looked up these scriptures she gave me because it actually says that people can be thorns in our flesh. Listen to Numbers 33:55. But if you, God, did not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, oh no, he's talking to the Israelites, God's saying this, then those of them whom you let remain shall be as barbs in your eyes and what? Thorns in your sides. And they shall trouble you in the land where you dwell. 2 Samuel 23:6. But worthless men are all like thorns that are thrown away, for they cannot be taken with the hand. And so I think David was saying, you know, when it comes to the ungodly, they are literally what? Thorns in the flesh. Okay, let's talk about so-called godly friends. And David even has an answer for this one. He says in Psalm 55, 1 to 2, Give ear to my prayer, O God. Hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. Attend to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint, and I what? When we are striving and when we are agitated, how many times do you do this? Do you ever sigh? Or you go, oh, come on. Is that not like a moan? And David says it. He says now in verse 12, it's not an enemy who taunts me that I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolent with me. Then I could hide from him. But is you, my man, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend, we used to what? What we used to do? What does it say? We used to take sweet counsel together, and most likely talking about whom? The Lord. And when we were walking up to worship together, we did so because we were coming for a common place to worship in the synagogue. Wow. David understands every aspect, I think, of people. Now let's talk about Paul for just a second. Paul himself had to deal with people that were godly. Here's what he says in 2 Timothy 1:15. You are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me. Now, who turned away from him? Christians, okay? Among them is Philegius and Harmonides. And then in 2 Timothy 4:10, he says, for Demas, in love with this present world, has what? Deserted me. In other words, we're going to have people come alongside and go, you know what? I don't care about Christianity anymore. You know, you can love the Lord, do whatever you want, but I'm out of here. And that's what literally people were doing around Paul. And then he said, and Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. And then in verse 14 of the same chapter, he says, Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Alexander was a very key person in their church at the time. Doesn't say what happened, but here is again the reality. And then 2 Timothy 4, Paul brings it all together at the end of this second letter to Timothy, and he says, at my first defense, of course, when he was in Rome, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me, and it had not been charged against them. May it not be charged against them, but who? The Lord, what? Stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles, that's you and me, might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. What's interesting is, in all my studies over the years, when Paul talks about his thorn in the flesh, you remember that? I have a thorn in the flesh. And there's all kinds of conjecture. He had eyesight issues. He had gout. He had all kinds. Never once read anywhere where somebody thought a thorn in the flesh might have been the people. So I just leave that with you for thought. Can it be people? Again, no matter what's going on, we need to what? Calm and quiet our souls, right? All right, I want to leave five practical aspects for you to apply this week to your life. You ready? You want to get a pen out? I mean, yes, it's on YouTube, and you can see this, but if you want to make some notes, I think this will really help you. These are things that have really come together for me in the last couple of weeks. How do we practically calm and quiet our soul? Okay, number one, we get our eyes back on Jesus and him alone. You and I, our primary responsibility is to what? Worship the Lord and obey what he asks us to do. Worship the Lord when you come into his presence as a group. Worship the Lord when you're doing your daily tasks and you're praying and you're thinking of him. Focus on him rather than, oh, you know, the price of gas is going up so high. I don't know if I'm going to... Oh, now they're saying $2 a gallon. Like, oh, am I going to... I mean, that alone, how many of you have actually thought about gas prices? I do a lot of driving. I think about... Thank you, Bob. Yeah, yeah. Because you just have a small vehicle, right, Bob? Yeah. Yeah. What do you get? 2.5 kilometers to a gallon? You know, I mean... But the reality is it's very easy to get agitated. And so the first thing is, okay, but Jesus, you're in charge of my money and my vehicle. And you know all about the price of gas that I need to use and put in my vehicle. Jesus said it, Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will ignore you. I will give you rest, because in this sense, Jesus is like a mother or a father, and he's saying, come, let me put my arms around you. just cease from fretting. We have to make the choice of whether or not we're going to do that. If we want to worry about the price of gas, is Jesus going to say, now, Bob, stop that? Is he? No. Bob can lie up in bed for the next week, and thanks, Bob, for letting me use you as an example. But he could lie in bed for 2 hours for the next week, every night, worrying about the price of gas, when it's going to be $2 a liter. Or he can go to sleep and say, Lord, you're in charge. Secondly, we need to remember that there's always going to be hurtful issues and words. One of the big things I've seen is what motivates more than anything in the last 2 years, is fear. It seems people are using words that are fear-based or fear-directed because it's a way of controlling people. And we're always going to have situations that are hurtful. Jesus said it in John 16. I have said these things to you that in me you may have what? Agitation or peace? In the world, you will have tribulation. And it says suffering, anxiety, and health issues. It's all listed there in the Greek. But take heart, I have what? I've overcome the world and deprived it of power to harm you. Thirdly, I think we need to realize the nature of the fight we're in. Is this a fight? Is this life a fight? Yes, ultimately. And Paul said it, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So again, there's your contrast, not to fuss and fume over people, because our fight is not with people. Where's our fight? Powers and principalities against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil. Where? In the heavenly places. Now, I do believe Satan uses people a lot to get at people. I do believe that. It's one of his greatest tools. But we need to remember, if I'm starting to get agitated, we need to take a moment and say, whoa, where is this agitation coming? Where is this fretting coming from? Is this based on powers and principalities? I told you the story before, but it bears repeating. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, one day was going through a very depressed period in his life. And he was riding his horse one day, and he goes, I can't handle this anymore. He got off his horse, and he knelt down on the cobblestones, and he said, Lord, I need to know that you love me and that I am serving you, and you see that. Well, there's a big hedgerow right behind him, and he's kneeling down on the side beside this hedgerow. What he didn't know is on the other side of the hedgerow was a fellow going to work. And as he was walking along the hedgerow, he hears this guy praying on the other side of the hedge. He was so angry, he got stones, and he starts to whip them over the hedge at this guy who's praying. John Wesley jumps up and goes, praise the Lord heard my prayers. He got back on his horse, and he went firing into the future, and nothing stopped him after that. You know, sometimes we need to remember it's his powers and principalities. We're doing our best to serve the Lord. Fourth, we need to remember always who's in charge. Now, this is different than looking away to Jesus. This is the reminder, literally, to be strong in the Lord, says Paul, and in the what? The strength of his might. Family, I said we can't even get the dog to obey us. But in the authority of Jesus Christ, we can stand strong with our head held high, no matter what's going on, because our God's in charge, and he lives in us. And finally, the fifth point I want you to keep in mind, and oh, by the way, remember 1 John 5:18-19, that those who are born of God do not keep on sinning, but he who is born of God, Jesus, protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Because greater is he, where? That is in me, you, than he that is in the world. And finally, I think we have to have an underlying belief that never wavers, and it's simply this: the Lord is our protector, our provider, and our nurturer. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, says Jesus, and some of the things will be added unto you. Is that what it says? Everything we need for life will be provided. And then he says, have confidence that vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. The Lord will judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The Lord is going to deal with you and I if we've crossed a line. And the Lord's going to deal with people because he's what? Your protector, your provider. And we have him as our nurturer. And so let me conclude again with Psalm 131. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. Do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have what? I've calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. Before the team come up to lead us in a final song, I want you just to take a moment, close your eyes, and just say, Lord, here I am. I need to calm my soul today. I've been agitated. I've had things bother me, situations, circumstances. I need to just give it all to you today. Father, I pray for all of us today. Lord, this life is not easy that we live in, that we go through. Many of us, we're trying to do our best. We're trying to give 110%. We're trying to love our neighbor. We're trying to keep a perspective on what is going on. But Father, sometimes we're just overwhelmed with everything, even to what we're to wear or what we're going to eat, where we're going to go, things even like the price of gasoline. All of these things come together. We deal with people in so many different ways. We deal with ungodly people. And we deal with so-called godly people that we thought, as David said, we could trust. Father, these things move across our perspective, and we need to start by examining our own heart. And then we need to say, Lord, I'm going to calm myself with you. You're in charge. You've given me another day of life. You knew me in my mother's womb. You're my protector. You're my provider. You're my nurturer. My eyes are on you. And Lord, I do believe that you will give us rest. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So I'm just going to ask Donna to play quietly for a minute, and I want you just to have a little chat with the Lord and resolve things in your mind that have been agitating you this week. Because you, our Heavenly Father, and you love us and know everything about us.